Hello, and welcome to the Bible teaching of Pastor Bill Bigham from the pulpit of Boger City Baptist in Lincolnton, North Carolina. You can join us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m., Sunday nights at 6 p.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We're located at 2201 East Main Street in beautiful Lincolnton, North Carolina. For live and archive streaming services, check us out online at bogercitybaptist.org. That's Boger, B-O-G-E-R, City, C-I-T-Y, Baptist.org, O-R-G. And now, open your hearts and minds as Pastor Bill brings the message.
To the right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, notice verse 28, and then we'll pray together. God has appointed these in the church, apostles, prophets, teachers, after that, miracles, then the gifts of healing, and then look at the next word, helps. Pray with me. Father, I ask you to bless the preaching of your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Any doctor will tell you that the backbone is a key component in your body. If you didn't have one, your body would collapse and it would crumble. Do you know the church is the body of the Lord Jesus? And this gift today that we are preaching on is literally the backbone of the church. If this gift was not in action, if this gift was not operational, the church would literally collapse. Let me tell you that the gift we're looking at today is the most prevalent gift in the church. I have pastored four churches. I have also talked to scores of preachers who have told me that this gift today is more prominent in the church than any other. In a few weeks, I'm going to preach on the least prominent gift in the church. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm going to let you try to figure it out. But there is a gift that is less prominent than any other. This gift today I'm talking about is more prominent than any other. More people in Boger City Baptist Church and in virtually every church, I'm certain, have this spiritual gift than any other. Now, depending on what kind of translation you're using today, this gift is going to be called one of three things. In Romans 12, verse 7, it is called service or ministry. Those are two of the three names given to this gift. Service, ministry, and in 1 Corinthians 12, 28, it is called, and this is the word I'm going to use in describing this gift, the gift of helps. But it can be called service, ministry, or thirdly, helps. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 12, 28, Paul is going to use a very descriptive Greek word to describe the gift of helps. It is the word antilumpesis. And in the Greek language, it literally means, and look at how descriptive the word is, it means to prop up. Paul is saying to us that this gift of helps literally props up the church. If we didn't have this gift in operation at Boger City Baptist Church, the church would fall. That's how critically important the gift of helps is. Now, this gift is not a public gift, like the gift of preaching and teaching, which is more of a public gift where you're visible and in front of people. The gift of helps is a behind-the-scenes kind of gift. A lot of you have this gift in our church. And you know what? I fail to thank you enough for using this gift, because I'm telling you again, if we didn't have this gift working in our congregation, we would be in a world of hurt. Now, do you know that the best definition that I have come across for this gift comes from the pen of Kenneth Wiest, who's a Greek scholar? I want to give you his definition for the spiritual gift of helps. Here it is. It is the spiritual ability to assume menial responsibilities in the church, thus taking a burden off those who communicate the Word of God. Here it is again. The God-given or spiritual ability to assume menial responsibilities in the church, thus taking a burden off those who communicate the Word of God. Now, let me ask you to join me in Acts chapter 6 for a moment. We're through with Romans and 1 Corinthians. I'm going to begin by talking to you about the problem in the church that requires the use of this gift. Acts chapter 6. In every local church, God has set apart men to preach and to teach His Word. We call them pastors. And in order for the pastors to be free to do the work of ministry, they've got to have helpers. That's why I love the word helps mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. People with this gift help the pastors. And so in Acts chapter 6, I want you to notice the great confusion among the saints as this early church began to grow. Now, here's what many scholars believe happened. We started with the 11 disciples. Judas took his own life. He was never a believer to begin with. We've got 11 men. Then on the day of Pentecost, there were 120 in the upper room waiting on the filling of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to them, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Then they get filled with the Spirit of God. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood and he preached. 3,000 people were saved. I am quoting from one church historian who believes that within 3 months after the day of Pentecost, there were as many as 50,000 new believers in Jerusalem. What would this church do here at Boger City? What in the world would we do if by the end of this summer we had 50,000 new members? What would we do if by the end of this summer we had 500 new members? There'd be chaos. We would be running around trying to minister to the needs, trying to disciple them, trying to help them with all of their problems, and the growth would be exponential in this church as it was in the days of the early church. And so the pastors, because of this unbelievably dramatic growth, began to neglect the most important calling they had. In fact, look at Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, again, some scholars say anywhere from 30 to 50,000 new members, within a matter of months of the day of Pentecost, there came a problem. Some of the widows were neglected in the daily food distribution. And so the 12, this would include now Matthias, who became the 12th apostle in the wake of Judas Iscariot's suicide. The 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "We cannot leave the Word of God to serve tables. We've got to focus on prayer and the ministry of the Word." The pastors were neglecting the most important thing they were called to do. And so here's what they did. They yelled, "Help! Help!" They needed helpers. And so this crisis right here was responsible for the election of the first 7 helpers. Deacons, servants, people involved in ministry. You know that every deacon we elect to the office here ought to have the gift of helps. They shouldn't be a deacon if they don't have the gift of helps. They ought to be that which would come alongside the pastor and take the burden off of his shoulders so that he can be free to minister and to pray and to preach. Not only was there great confusion among the saints, but look at verse number 2. The Great Commission was suffering because they had left the Word of God. They had been commissioned to preach the Word, and because they were doing the menial, because they were neglecting the most important thing of all, their ministry was suffering. And so I want you to know today that no pastor, please understand this, none of us, if we are God-called, God-anointed ministers, none of us should be above doing the menial. I'm going to make you a promise again today that I made you on the night I stood right here before the Sunday you called me to be your pastor in June of 2007, I told you that I would never ask any of you to do anything that I wouldn't be willing to do myself. I am not afraid to soil my hands. But if I'm going to continue to do the menial, in other words, if I'm called upon to do something that others can do, then I'm going to tell you what will suffer. And that is prayer and the ministry of the Word of God. These ministers were doing in the book of Acts, chapter 6, something others could be doing, and they were neglecting something that only they could do. And so we've seen, to begin with this morning, the problem that required the gift. Now, let's get a little more practical. Let's notice, secondly, the people who received this gift. I'm telling you again, more of you have this gift than any other gift in the church. This was true at Denver Baptist Church. This was true at Merriman Avenue Baptist Church in Asheville. It was true at Clearview Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama. I stand amazed at how God has given this gift liberally in the church because it is the backbone gift of the church. So let's talk about the people who received the gift. And let me begin by sharing with you how you can recognize this gift. I've got four or five things here that are very descriptive of those of you who have the gift of ministry, service, or as I prefer to call it, the gift of helps. Here's some proofs you may have it. People who have this gift, God bless them, they have no need, they have no desire for applause or attention. I told you before, I'll tell you again, this is a behind-the-scenes kind of gift. And men and women who possess the gift of helps run from recognition. They don't want their name in the bulletin. They don't want to be recognized publicly for what they do. They do what they do because they love the Lord Jesus. They are content to serve in the shadows. See, that's what a deacon ought to be. So I tell you, when we elect men to be deacons here, they ought to be men with the gift of helps because they're going to serve without any accolades or attention. They're going to serve in the shadows. Secondly, these people are content, and I just alluded to this, but let me expound on this a little bit more in depth. They're content to work behind the scenes. There are spiritual gifts that are visible and public. Your Sunday school teacher, standing, whether he or she, they stand in front of you on a weekly basis, they open the Word of God, they have a visible gift. They have a public gift. When I stand behind this pulpit on Sunday morning, I am exercising a public gift. Had you seen me when I first got called into ministry, I would stand in front of three or four people in a Sunday school class, and my knees would knock. I was so nervous. And the only thing I hated about the gift God gave me was it was a public gift. And I can't stand standing in front of people. I'm nervous even this morning just standing in front of people. I run from that. If I had my ways, I'd just record the sermon in my office and have it played over the PA system, and I'd be somewhere else today. I mean, just standing in front of people still makes my knees knock. I've been doing this going on 30 years. I don't like the visible aspect of the gift God has given me. But people with the gift of helps, again, they run from the spotlight. Now, there are some people who do what they do in the church for a pat on the back or recognition. And when the attention and the applause stops, so do they. They only serve if they're in the limelight. But I'm telling you, this gift is a behind-the-scenes kind of gift. Thirdly, write this down. Usually, not always, but usually, men and women with the gift of helps don't have public gifts. Now, that is not a blanket statement. There are men and women who have public gifts who also possess the gift of helps, but it is not always the case. Most of the time, Someone with the gift of helps is going to be someone who doesn't have a public or visible gift, like preaching or teaching or evangelism. Number four, men and women, and boy, I see this in those of you with this gift in this church, and every week I am blessed to watch you in action. People with the gift of helps, more often than not, are going to have a servant's heart about them. You know what the three favorite words of anyone with the gift of helps is? You know what their motto is? Three words. I don't mind. Would you do this? Sure, I don't mind. Can you help us in this area? Sure, I don't mind. Everyone with the gift of helps has that servant nature about them. And the old saying's true. If you want to know whether or not you have a servant's heart, check your response when someone treats you like one. Let me repeat that. If you really want to know whether or not you have a servant's heart, check your response when you're treated like a servant. If you bow up and you think you're better than that, or you're above doing something, or you're above soiling your hands, you don't have a servant's heart. But when someone comes to you and asks you to serve in a position or in some capacity behind the scenes, and you say, sure, I don't mind, chances are good you've got the gift of helps or ministry of service. Number five, people with this gift more often than not love to carry out manual projects. This is kind of the blue-collar gift of the church. It's a working gift. It is the backbone of the church, and again, there are scores of you who have it. Let me tell you something about this gift. Anyone with the gift of helps can be counted on. You are worth your weight in gold to your pastor if you have this gift, because I can count on you. Do you know what God is going to say when He gives out rewards one day at the judgment seat? He isn't going to say, well done, good and talented servant. He isn't going to say, well done, good and gifted servant. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And above every other gift in the church, anyone possessing the gift of service or helps can be counted on. They don't want credit. They do what they do because they love their church. Now, do you know my gift of preaching and teaching is more dependent on you than you would believe? I cannot stand on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday evening and preach and teach if you don't use your gift of service. There again, we look at the church as a body. And the body is interconnected. I cannot use my gift if the gift of helps is not in service in this church. Always remember, Pastor Bill Bigham does what he does because you do what you do. And without you, I can do nothing. So we see the recognition of the gift. And then I want you to notice the role of this gift in the church. I want to give you, this is not an exhaustive list by any stretch of the imagination. And I don't want to overlook anyone who's using their gift of helps. And I fear I may do that, but I'm going to give you 10, 11 ways that this gift manifests itself at Boger City Baptist Church. And if I look over some area in which you're using this gift, I do apologize. Working on the building and the grounds. We've got so many of you who do this. Now, that's a behind-the-scenes kind of gift. Here I am up here yesterday working, studying, and here's Todd Cochran over here changing light bulbs and going around outside with Roundup killing weeds. Folks, that is the gift of service. That is the gift of helps. So many of you use that gift just keeping this building maintained and keeping the grounds looking good. Every time we have a work day, here you are using that blue-collar gift to keep this church in shape. Cooking meals down in the fellowship hall. You will never know what a blessing that is. Those of you on the hospitality committee and those of you who serve down there, what a manifestation of the gift of helps. Working in the nursery. Boy, if that isn't the gift of helps, I don't know what is. Every now and then, Kim Reichard yells, "Help!" And those of you with the gift of helps, you go back there and you minister to our children, the church of tomorrow. God bless you for working in the nursery. That is the gift of helps. And then those of you who help plan and carry out social events for our children's ministry and our youth ministry and our senior adult ministry. Those of you who usher on Sunday morning. That's kind of a behind-the-scenes gift. It isn't real visible, but it's the gift of helps. The men and women back here in the sound booth. Do you think I could stand on Sunday morning and do what I do if they didn't do what they did? No. Now, they're behind the scenes. They're not real visible, but boy, are they critically important. The baptismal committee helping me to get ready for baptismal services. Those of you on the Lord's Supper committee who every quarter prepare that memorial service. Those of you who count the offering back here on Sunday. Many of you don't know this, but there have been Sundays when I've hung around here till a quarter, till 1 o'clock, 1:15. They're still back there counting the offering. They forego lunch on time so that they can use a spiritual gift in counting the money. And by the way, just from the pastoral perspective, so you'll know, the longer they're back there, the more blessed I am. When they get out of here early on Sunday, I get real discouraged. But I go back there at 1 o'clock, hallelujah, you're still here. Stay as long as you want. If you want to stay till 2, God bless you. I'll get you a voucher from McDonald's or something. Oh, that's a blessing to see them back there late in the afternoon. They give up some conveniences in order to be a blessing to the church. When people put up Christmas and Easter decorations here in the sanctuary, it takes a lot of work and it beautifies the sanctuary. It's a gift of helps. And those of you who serve on any committee whatsoever, you're helping. You're serving, you're ministering. You can see why Paul would use the word to prop up in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 when he talks about this gift. And then let me close by preaching for just a moment on the rewards that this gift is going to bring. You see, the person with the gift of helps isn't going to receive a whole lot of recognition on this earth. But you see, that's the last thing they want. They don't want any applause. They don't want any attention. There's going to be a lot of recognition for them, however, when they stand in front of the throne of God one day. Jesus said something about the last being first. He said something about the virtue of ministering and serving behind the scenes in the shadows with no attention and no recognition. And there will be a crown one day for those of you who use this gift. Do you remember me telling you when we started this series that one of the ways we win rewards at the judgment seat is by using the spiritual gifts God gives us? And so if you've got the gift of helps and you're using it, then I guarantee you one day Jesus is going to place a crown on your head and you'll have the joy of casting that crown back at His feet. Now, I've been doing this almost 30 years. I've been an observer of people with spiritual gifts. Let me tell you what one of the dangers is for the person with the gift of helps. And you may be in this situation here today, maybe not. But I'll guarantee you there's some of you who have the gift of helps. I know this is true because in the previous three churches I had pastored, this has also been the case. Let me tell you what one of the dangers is for you. There is a tendency for people who have the gift of helps, if they're not careful, to feel taken for granted, almost used, almost like a doormat. I've had people in the churches I have pastored come to me, and they're always working behind the scenes, and don't get me wrong, they don't want any recognition for what they do, but sometimes they do feel taken for granted. That is why today, as I stand before you, I want every one of you to know who have this gift that you're not underappreciated. Without it, this church's backbone would crumble. And even though some people may not notice when you use your gift, Jesus does. Nothing else matters. He knows you were serving with this gift. Let me tell you something about the gift of helps. When it is working in a church, no one notices because everything's going smoothly. But boy, when this gift is not working, it is not prominent in a church, everyone notices. Because what you've got when this gift is not working and operational is chaos and confusion. Things fall apart. The wheels grind to a halt when this gift isn't being used. And so not only do the people who have this gift, are they able to anticipate a reward in heaven, but I want you to go back with me to Acts 6 and we're finished. When I talk to you about the productivity that results from this gift being used. Look at what happened in the days of the early church. People with the gift of helps came to the forefront, and the first thing that happened, this is why every pastor can say thank you, hallelujah, praise God for those of you who use this gift, because if you look in verse 7, when people came to the forefront and began to use their gift of helps, the communication of the Scriptures increased. Look at verse 7. The Word of God spread. How come? Because the ministers were able to get their focus back on preaching and praying and preparing and teaching the Word of God. People propped the church up with the gift of helps, and it freed the ministers up to begin doing what God called them to do. I'm going to tell you again, you will never know how blessed I am as pastor of this church to see this gift so prominent. I have pastored 4 churches, and this gift is more prominent in this church than any other church I have ever pastored. Now, don't get me wrong. In the other 3 previous churches, this gift was working and operational too, but it seems like God has blessed a multitude of people at Boger City Baptist Church with this gift. Some of you have this gift and you're not using it. We need you. We need you to get involved, but thank you for those who do have the gift and you are using it. Do you know, if I had to do what some of you gladly do, I would neglect this book. I wouldn't be prepared on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night to teach you and to feed you and to preach from the Word. So I want you to remember, every time you employ the gift of helps, you are helping this pastor be freed up to do what God called me to do. Now, not only did the communication of the Scriptures increase, but the conversion of sinners increased. Look at verse 7, the end of the verse. Chapter 6, the number of the disciples multiplied. You know why that's true? Very simple. The Word was being preached. Anytime the Word is preached, the conversion of sinners and the development of disciples is going to happen. I know some pastors who are in churches where the gift of helps is not as prominent as here in this church. I know some pastors who are shepherding churches, and there are people who have the gift of helps, and they're too lazy to use their gift. And do you know what many of these pastors are doing? Instead of preparing sermons, they're painting Sunday school rooms. Instead of praying, they're performing menial tasks that others with the gift of helps could be doing, should be doing, would be doing, but they're not. And it is drawing the preacher away from his primary calling. I want to tell you again as I close this sermon, for all of you who have the gift and for all of you using the gift, thank you. Bow your heads together. Every head